Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Wednesday Night War Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT, NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review the Wednesday Night War, and if you want to know our thoughts ahead of AEW Dynamite, that is available as a podcast right now. We also review Raw, pay-per-views, SmackDown. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a mega quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. But as I said, joined by Hanford and Sidgwick to preview night one of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. The final NXT on Wednesday nights. How are you feeling, Hanford?
Bored already, to be honest. I called this sludge on Twitter yesterday, this show. I was referring to both cards, not just the Wednesday night. There's like two things that are legitimately really exciting and are worthy of praise, where the booking's been good, where there's actual stars in matches. But we're going to go through this bit by bit. And you can't, they're such bastards. They rule by confusion, like all capitalism does. That's all WWE does. They rule by confusion. Like, so much of this doesn't feel like a takeover. But then they'd probably argue, well, it's night one of a two-night takeover. So really, if you combine them together, that's how it's a proper takeover. That's the real quiz. Like, some of the stuff on this card is, it's been so poorly built. It's so meaningless in the grand scheme of things. And yet, because of the good stuff, people, myself included, not just other people, are probably going to have fond overall thoughts on this show in the morning. There's two things that I can't wait to watch because I'm a dedicated wrestling fan. And yet, it just feels so... feels very, very fitting as a way for the Wednesday Night Wars to end, if I'm honest, because this, like, NXT feels pretty broken, and like a night change probably won't fix it, but at least it gives it a chance.
It's always all right on the night. Some of the booking here has been terrible in terms of the gauntlet eliminator bollocks that we're going to get. Some of it's been perfunctory. Some of it's been really well done. Ultimately, what you're going to get tonight probably are 3, 4.5-star level matches. And the fact that there's 2 threes just means that it'll never dip in quality. It'll get rapturously received. And I'm really hyped for 2 matches in particular. And I never get that about NXT on a humdrum, ordinary Wednesday. So, yeah, I'm hyped for this. There's 2 matches in particular that I really, really want to see.
Well, let's talk about the match, first of all, that everyone is looking forward to, it feels like, and arguably has had the best build out of everything on night one of TakeOver, that being Io Shirai defending the NXT Women's Championship against Raquel Gonzalez. And we saw that amazing image. I think Hamlet retweeted it of all the challenges who stepped up and been knocked back down by Io Shirai. An impressive list of people she's defeated. But is tonight the night we see a new NXT Women's Champion, Sidge?
Yes, and they could not have done a better job of building said new champion. Like, this is genuinely, almost inexplicably masterful stuff from an NXT brand that has otherwise totally lost its way. We're not too far removed from the anniversary of her debut, which was met with derision and confusion. And virtually every step of the way, with the one exception no one cares about, wherein she was, I was first. Like, shut up, man. Every step of the way, they've built her and built her and built her as this monster capable of winning matches, of stealing spotlights in the case of Shotzi Blackheart at War Games, of beating decisively the last person everyone thought was going to be the NXT Women's Champion in an absolutely inspired mini program with Rhea Ripley. They've gone all the way with her. I expect them to go all the way with it at night. And there's going to be a moment in this match, which I still think is going to be incredibly dramatic, despite the fact that I feel like it's time to do the switch. Like, near perfect, really. Like, near perfect, if you consider the arc, how it's culminated, when it's culminated. It's obviously one of the biggest takeovers of the year, being in and around WrestleMania season. And yet, they have in parallel, as illustrated by that match graphic, portrayed Io Shirai, not in the most interesting of ways all of the time, but as the undisputed ace, capital A, of this division. Mm-hmm. It's just been really masterful, masterful long-term build, even if indirectly most of the time, but that's how you power these things ultimately. And I expect the match to totally bang as well. It's Io Shirai's presumed last stand. It's Raquel Gonzalez's breakthrough. The dynamic is perfect, skill versus size, but the monster has skills as well, which are going to be realized like in the crest of the drama of the finish. Like, I just think it's going to be awesome. I think it's all going to be informed by that quality that NXT has been lacking. And it's going to be some absolutely incredible near falls. This is probably the NXT match I've most looked forward to since the entire beginning of this damnable Wednesday Night War.
Yeah, can't really add too much to that. It just feels perfect, and NXT so rarely achieve that level of perfection anymore. Look, it's been 27 years of crap Shawn and Diesel comparisons, and we finally got one that fits it. Like, yeah. We finally got one that is like befitting of what that comparison actually means, of how one established wrestler helped build another established wrestler who maybe had a little bit less about them, but had like a size advantage that you just had to push, that you had to go with. You have to go with Raquel Gonzalez because she's made herself undeniable in this position. As Cedric points out, from that debut last year, which was kind of laughed at Portland, if anything, her running was seen to ruin what was a pretty great, like, grisly street fight payoff to this like long-standing feud. And where they've arrived at in a year since is amazing. Loads of credit to Gonzalez, because you've got to improve along with the push.
Mm-hmm.
Like, NXT is often functional to a fault. But if wrestlers, this is like a WWE mentality as well, if wrestlers aren't seen to be like every day earning their attention that they've been given, they'll lose the attention. Like, it's like every day you have to do better than the last, otherwise maybe we'll look elsewhere. It's how they keep so many of the talent on the toes. I don't particularly support it as a work in practice, but Raquel Gonzalez nonetheless has lived up to that. Every time something has been asked of her, she's stepped up to that opportunity. I think a lot about the ending of the final of the Dusty Cup as an example of that. Like, that was a middling match that had a slightly confusing heel babyface dynamic, but was almost entirely saved by an amazing finish where twice Gonzalez got to show her ridiculous strength, her unbelievable charisma in the way that she harbours that strength and advantage over these other women. And yeah, in contrast to Io Shirai, a babyface champion for the bulk of her run, a babyface champion that has kind of taken on all comers in very honourable fashion. She's not given storylines or angles to work with typically. So instead, she just on the night has to be the hardest working best champion. That's a really, really difficult role in 2020, 2021. Just, it's, you know, there's not much space for earnest babyface champions like that in wrestling anymore. So she's done a brilliant job. This is the night. And it's great to see somebody get anointed in this regard as well. It's really cool to see. Even when it feels predictable, you know, I don't think anyone's going to back Io Shirai to win this, but sometimes wrestling's great for that. Countless WrestleManias used to end with that, with this idea of you are buying in to seeing that triumph, to seeing that moment, to seeing somebody get anointed. Also puts over the belt. It also shows that the belt still means something, because you want to see her win it, because that's going to be the proof that this has worked. If she doesn't win this match, it's almost going to look as if, oh, the push has been a failure. Like, that belt still symbolizes something.
I feel a bit bad because I've booked Io Shirai to lose so often. She's been spectacular throughout this run. But I've sat here and said, oh, and they did the triple threat featuring her and Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. Oh, Rhea wins the title back then. And then it's like she's facing Candice LeRae now. Candice LeRae beats her then. Or Dakota Kai or whoever it may be, who seem to back her opponents. And a lot of the time, the builds have been pretty dreadful in terms of, do you want to just get in this tank and cut a promo underwater, Io? And yet, like Sid alluded to, on the night, every time she smashed it out of the park. And it's not just a case of on the night. Whenever she's actually given something to do, I think she absolutely nails it. And personified by the go-home NXT last week, which just built and built and built between these two. Raquel Gonzalez hoying her through a bloody wall and attacking her throughout the night, and then concluding with Io Shirai being the one to stand tall. But yeah, I think Raquel Gonzalez has to leave as NXT Women's Champion. Very interesting to see what happens next for Io Shirai. But yeah, it's a real passing the torch moment, and yeah, there's only going to be one winner. Harder to call, Michael Sidgwick, is the six-man gauntlet eliminator match, the winner of which will face Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship on Thursday night. Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, and LA Knight. Sid, you know who I'm picking for this, but who are you going for?
I don't know. I will give two options and talk myself into one of them after making this point. If I'm Chris Harrington, stats, ways, numbers, genius, AEW vice president, I am racking my brains, my big brain, going through the data of a takeover. I'm strategically trying to work out when this match takes place on takeover, and I'm directly opposing it with the Darby Allin match because Darby Allin's a draw. Or the Tyson thing, I'm doing that to try and swing viewers because this is not takeover level material. It is pathetically TNA style booked, convoluted nonsense featuring acts that have gone 50-50 or have receded from relevance after doing things earlier in the year in this sort of inattentive NXT quintessential way that is completely opposed to what they've done with them, Gonzalez. Because this is just not takeover worthy. I expect this to be rushed to all hell, given that they'll want to give other matches on this 2-hour show with commercial breaks on one platform enough time to get the coveted 4.5-star ratings, 4.75-star ratings that they'll probably get. And I think it's going to be to the absolute detriment of some of the people involved. In terms of who wins, process of elimination, Leon Ruff's not winning. He's already done stuff with Gargano. Swerve Scott versus Gargano is an all-heel dynamic. And even though everyone's a heel in WWE, they don't really acknowledge that. LA Knight versus Gargano isn't a takeover match, and they goddamn know it. Everyone goddamn knows it, hence why this is such a drab, ridiculous match. Lumis has got the story with Gargano, so it kind of makes sense, but they don't know what they want. Do they want to do wacky cartoon stuff that feels more casual, viewer-friendly, and go with Lumis? Or do they fall back on their, no, we need to do great matches. That's what NXT is, impulse and pick Bronson Reed. Reed or Lumis? Have I got any coins on us? 2 seconds. I don't have a coin, so I'm just going to say Bronson Reed will probably resume the Lumis stuff after next week.
I'm glad Sidgwick went with Reed because I'm going with Lumis just to finish this off. the booking of it is obviously based on
horse.
You're going to have one baby face that barely even a gauntlet to run, but runs a bit of a gauntlet. I think that's going to be Bronson Reed. But Lumis to win ultimately. Is Bronson Reed in two before Lumis? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, he's three and Dexter's five.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, definitely Lumis then. I'm not excited about it. I hate the booking. I hate the way they've arrived at this. Feels to me like they put Johnny Gargano versus Dexter Lumis on a piece of paper for a takeover card, then all looked at each other awkwardly and said, we can't actually sell them that just as is, can we? We can't justify this for a takeover. Let's pretend he's worked for it. Let's try and create a story in which Lumis has earned this shot this time versus just kidnapping Austin Theory or forcing, like, giving Indy Hartwell the eyes so Indy Hartwell gets a bit of a crush on him, that sort of thing. Like, the match felt so stupid on paper, but they still wanted to book it, so they've just gone a long, long, long way around getting there to it. And it's going to, the idea is to make it feel earned tomorrow night, which it won't. Huge, huge test for Gargano if it is Loomis. I guess that's for another preview show. And one he might live up to. Johnny Gargano's really good. Dexter Loomis isn't. And it's probably why they've gone to such lengths to book him in a match like this, if indeed they're going to go back to that. Or I think they will. I think this wraps a bow on story as well. I think once he's had this shot, and hopefully he loses, I think that's finally the end of Dexter Loomis versus The Way.
Oh, please, God. I'm depressingly sort of in agreement with you there, Hamper. I would like to see Bronson Reed versus Gargano, especially because of their history in that ladder match a while back. I'm intrigued to see what it is. But it's a fresh start. You move into Tuesdays. Let's bin off all this Dexter Loomis bollocks and put the title around on Cameron Grimes' waist, please. It's not going to happen, but I will hold out hope until the moment he inevitably gets pinned in about 3 seconds, probably with money flying everywhere or whatever. Let's go from one bit of fantasy booking of mine, Hamlet, that is probably not going to happen, the one that may well, and that is the Triple Threat Tag Team match, the NXT Tag Team Championships, MSK versus Legado del Fantasma versus the Grizzled Young Veterans. Could it happen, Hamlet?
What, your boys win the tag belts?
Please, God.
You absolutely will.
Yes!
The construction of this match is pathetic. Like, it's apparently piss poor in order to get the belts on the Grizzled Young Vets and preserve the rematch of the awesome match they had at TakeOver Vengeance Day. That's what this is. And I won't be patronised by it until the match itself, when I probably will during some of the really awesome spots. It's like, it can be this great spot fest. They've got tons of people, the wrestlers included, that can construct something truly, truly great here. It's not to drag Legado del Fantasma and what they can offer in terms of the body of the match. It's to drag the booking for just installing them as warm bodies for the Grizzled Young Vets to pin. They were warm bodies for Karrion Kross on his own. So either tag team can justify having a problem with them. I don't know. If Legado del Fantasma somehow win the belts as this way to somehow subvert expectations, then more fool MSK and Grizzled Young Vets for not being as good as Karrion Kross on his own. You know, it has to be them getting pinned. It has to be by the heels, because you have to delay MSK. All right, maybe not has to. You could put the belts on MSK. You could just have a nice moment, I suppose. But it seems to me they know how good that match was at Vengeance Day, and they know they can do it again for belts, because all it had last time was the Dusty Cup. It's a nice thing, but it's not real stakes. The belts are real stakes. This match, this tag team title match between Grizzled Young Veterans and MSK could and should bang when they choose to do it. So yes, they are no longer going to be soon to be recognised after tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's happening. It's happening. And Legado del Fantasma have been positioned to take the fall, protect MSK, to preserve the fact that they're going to run back MSK versus Grizzled Young Vets at whatever the next takeover is. Yeah, I'm uninspired, half patronized in the same manner as Hamlet. So that's the result. As for prospective match quality, which we also go through on these pods, I think they're going to get shafted for time here. I think that even though they'll rush also the Gauntlet Eliminator, the very nature of that match means it'll kind of have to go a bit long. I think they'll really want to give time to the main event, and they absolutely should. Yeah. And Kushida Dunn is going to get time as well. Like, Ciampa, Volta, I just think this is going to go 10 minutes when it could be an absolutely exceptional match if it goes much longer. But this is going to get the shaft. It's going to be not as good as it could be, because it's total obligation booking to build to a bigger match down the line. I think this will go 10 minutes. Ad break as well. Yeah, it's going to be a missed opportunity, but one that they'll gladly just throw away almost. But yeah, Grizzled Young Veterans to take the titles.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's talk about that technical wrestling masterpiece that we've got to look forward to then between Pete Dunne and Kushida. How do you see this one playing out, Sage?
I mean, it's incredibly e-fed booking in its premise. Total e-fed way, but not in a way that's like endearing. I told you about my e-fed character before, haven't I?
I think so, yeah.
Raven knockoff even flow. He did vignettes in the same manner as the Jeremy video from Pearl Jam. That's endearing. You get a little bit old and you start reading Power Slam and The Observe and you think, oh God, my guy's a woke guy. And he's got a real name. Like, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. Let's have a match. And the match is going to be great. The match will be great. This will be great. Not necessarily drawing TV fair, but it's got the takeover branding. So as we'll get to later on, I don't think it'll matter. This is going to be exquisite technical wrestling that in that sort of irritating NXT way we'll go, yeah, in that ridiculously basic storyline, because they are going to embody the fact that they're both absolutely exceptional technical wrestlers. As for who wins, again, there's not a great deal of investment in the outcome because we've seen from their booking on behalf of both men that what does it matter? Mm-hmm. What does it matter? They've already done Kushida Gargano. So if there's any sort of North American title ramifications, they can't do that again, surely, then they do. It's just what they do. I think Pete Dunne will win because they'll think that because he's a fluent English speaker, particularly tedious one, but it's just how WWE books in general, I think they'll give the win to Pete Dunne. Kushida's had his turn, having done the North American title loop very recently. So I think they'll give it to Pete Dunne.
I think they'll give it to Pete Dunne because I think they'll believe that he needs recovering with a big win after the loss to Finn Balor. And the fact that, like, the Kings of NXT are no more, really, now Pat McAfee's not around.
Triple H's boy as well, isn't he, Pete Dunne?
Yeah, yeah. I think he'll get the win. This is what happens when you stop booking, effectively. Because if you book where wins and losses matter, then you can get people to invest in the result of this match. But with these two wrestlers, like, weirdly more than most, wins and losses haven't really mattered in some of their major storylines. So what you need is the great match that they can have almost to obscure that. Cedric mentioned about time in relation to the tag match. I actually think it's a bit of a win-win here. I think you don't go longer than 10, not only to save your television time for the things that matter, but also to stop these two accidentally missing the peak. I think if this match goes beyond how long it needs to, and it like just passes the peak slightly and the ending isn't quite, it doesn't find itself at the most explosive and exciting moment, I think we're all going to remember that this is being fought over nout. You know, all right, fine, like best technical wrestler. That is a reason to have a wrestling match between two wrestlers in a wrestling company. I accept that. But it's NXT. They will, of course, present this as far bigger than that. You know, they'll see this as another dream match, capital D, capital M. When you can't just be showing these things in graphics anymore, with one exception that we're going to talk about in a minute. You can't really be showing these things. They haven't got many of these left. And Pete Dunne versus Kushida is one from about 4 years ago. It's certainly not one in 2021. I'd like this to get about 10 minutes. It allows for that, like that pretty gorgeous, explosive Kushida comeback that you're going to get. But Pete Dunne's as amazing at kind of like, he breaks your heart a little bit with his cutoffs as a heel, which we haven't seen enough of, I don't think. There was a lot of the magic in the Tyler Bates Chicago Classic was rooted in that, just how good Pete Dunne was at that. I think you can replicate that here over a short amount of time because it's meaningless. Wrap it in 10 with a Pete Dunne win and lots of people having lots of nice things to say about it. And I think that's probably the best outcome for all of this as well. My fear is that it's boring. This could be dull. And that's just another indictment on how like desensitized like they've made us to so many of these matches. This risks being dull.
This is getting 20 minutes nailed on.
Ugh, doesn't need it.
No, it doesn't. I completely agree with Hamlet. I also agree with Sidgwick, and that's what's going to happen. But I think Hamlet's right in terms of what should happen. I can tell you exactly what you're going to get from this. Three things. A Pete Dunne victory. 4+ star match. And a load of unbearable tweets from people going, Pete Dunne and Kushida are great wrestlers. Pass it on.
Do we know that?
That's exactly what's going to happen. Exactly what's going to happen.
Pete Dunne is good at the wrestling with a gif of him bending Kushida's finger.
Let's conclude, Michael Hamflett, with what you're going to do to with what Walter's going to do to Tommaso Ciampa. Of course, Walter just passing 2 years as NXT UK champion. We were there in attendance to see him murder Pete Dunne. And what has he got planned for Tommaso Ciampa tonight, Hamflett? And, well, are we going to see an involvement potentially of Timothy Thatcher?
2 years of that belt, but let's not talk about that because most of it's been utterly meaningless. I don't like people adding prestige to that reign. It's been like half spent in a pandemic with the odd defence here or there or in a non-territory. But the match itself, you can't not look forward to this. The booking's been quite good. I think they've done a pretty great job of, like, very tacitly presenting Walter as a little bit intimidated by Tommaso Ciampa. He's battered Ciampa when he's had the help of Imperium. I know they're a stable of heels and he's the leader and that's what they're set up to do. But Walter's matches are designed around the fact that he just monsters people. And instead, because Ciampa's never backed down, which is all his old man character can really do, believably, is not back down to somebody like a Walter. What you've got is this quite unique chemistry where he's not going to be afraid of that chop. He's not going to want to take it, but he's not going to be afraid of it. He's going to just try and work around it, and they're going to build to it, and it's going to be tremendous. But he's going to battle back from it as well. It's all this like really cool stuff that you get when you have somebody like Ciampa's current character against Walter and the type of match Walter has. So I think this will be fantastic. Rarely do I think the CWC is a good atmosphere for a match. It's a good atmosphere for this match. Mm. It's gritty. It's filthy. It certainly reminds me in theory of like the CWC feels quite oppressive and unwelcome. I don't like really watching wrestling there. But it reminds me a little bit of the aesthetics to some of the first Walter matches I ever saw, where you were being sent, like Sidgwick probably sent me YouTube clips of him fighting in bars and clubs where indie shows are being held, where the lights are virtually all down and you can hear the fans rather than see them because they're gasping and hooping and hollering at chops rather than being able to see them popping. That's kind of the CWC. So I think even the atmosphere will suit this. It's a big match. It's a rare big match on an NXT. Walter retains, like, the belt's meaningless, so a title change would be meaningless. I'd like to see Imperium and Thatcher kept out of this, actually. I'd like to see Ciampa go all guts and glory to try and beat him and just lose, because Walter has no choice but to brave the situation and beat him.
That allows me for a very neat segue. I hope they in no way Americanize this match. The whole appeal of it is that you've got this absolute monster from Europe imposing his totally pious principles on this show. And I know there's heat in the idea of, oh, he's actually a BS artist and he's going to get the help of his pals. That way you protect Ciampa because Walter's going back to England because he's the champ there and he likes living there more than he does America. I hope they resist the temptation to just Americanize this match with protecting Ciampa through interference from the rest of Imperium. And it's not just the tropes of Americanizing a Walter match. He sucks in America. Apart from Takeover New York, in which he was awesome, in which he was Walter, he had a bit of a mid-match with Kushida. And by mid, I mean 3 3/4. Mm. But like not like the full, undiluted, like legit, strictest definition, I find Walter as a performer awesome. I'm terrified of him. He is very much the full-time Brock that they obviously can't and wouldn't be able to book on Raw, but he is that. I just want to see that. Smoked in that chop battle by Drew McIntyre, tail between his legs back to the factory. And yet his history on the mainline NXT brand very, very slightly mitigates my expectations. Realistically, it's a takeover. He's there for a reason. He's there to just lacerate the living hell out of Tommaso Ciampa's chest. And Tommaso Ciampa is low-key a bit of a lunatic for damage. Like, he'll do mad stunts. He'll wrestle, like, incredibly physical matches. Like, I can still hear the way he allowed... I can't remember which way around it was, but there was a spot in the first Ciampa Gargano match where one of them was just pounding the other on the back. I think it was Ciampa on Gargano. Just, like, full-on, like, unrestricted blows to the back. If he could do that to Walter's back, give me it. Like, it's just going to be an absolutely great struggle. Like, that's going to be almost sickening in its physicality. But they know how to craft things as well. It's not just meathead pulverizing. Like, they'll craft something around the brutality. This is just going to be tits.
I think as well we're going to get a little twist where maybe he hits Walt with like the Willow's bell and we think, oh my God, he's going to beat him. And then obviously kicks out. But I think it's going to be spectacular. Very quickly, Sige, I talked about Timothy Thatcher potentially being involved. And I know he's not wrestling on this night. He's wrestling on the next night. But potentially, could you see a moment where backstage you have Walter and Finn Balor pass? Because they teased that obviously a long time ago before the ongoing Global Bastard.
I can't think of a better way to do something significant with Finn Balor after he inevitably loses that title to Karrion Kross. Even if it's just a passing glance, it'd be the good version of the NXT trope because it'll be informed by the fact that you've got the two champions. I would welcome very much a little backstage tease, even if it's just them staring each other down, because what they go for when they book this is, oh my God, these two are going to have a match. And what you get is, oh my God, it's Jordan Devlin and Angel Garza or whatever it was that time. Who cares? There's a gravitas here. Who cares?
I thought you were going to say it was Jordan Devlin and me, because then you would have had the Walter and Finn Balor look.
But I would welcome the hell out of that. Look, they need a match for this big Tuesday launch. Mm. And they've exhausted virtually everything they've got by doing a two-night takeover. They might even do it while he's there. You know? While you're over here, love. Who knows? But that would be a match for the Tuesday. That's what I would do.
Walter chopping the paint off the demon, basically, Hamlet.
Oh, I would don't do the demon.
Because no, obviously, but eventually.
If Balor lose to Cross on Thursday, and then on the Tuesday loses to Walter, it's like, oh, he's lost two major matches. He needs to find the demon. It's all bam the best.
One final thing to talk about then, that being the ratings. Disappointing for both shows last week. AEW 700,000, NXT 654,000.
I know we do the numbers on this, but if you look at the demos, it was an actual triumph for NXT.
Yeah, I was going to say, disappointing in terms of a loss, but I suppose, yeah, in demos and an improvement for them. Disappointing for the Dudleys, because yet again, I predicted it correctly. Final Wednesday Night Wall ratings predictions. As we all know, Hamlet is the last goal winner. So will NXT win the final Wednesday Night Wall for you?
No. Last goal winner. Well done, AEW. No, I don't think so. I could be miles off with this. There's a great analogy Sidgwick's made on our AEW preview as to why I could be miles off on this. I think Peacock, the fact that it's on Peacock as well, will harm their audience, possibly even more than I'm predicting. I'm going 750, 650 in favour of AEW. Because I think that's a slight bump with Tyson. I wish I could say it was a slight bump with one of the matches or some like an angle or something, but I feel like it's probably going to be a Tyson bump. And NXT will do a decent number, but it'll be a kind of cross both platforms. So it won't be particularly reflected in the USA number.
I'll not go as long as I did on the AEW pod, but I've got 2 points to make. Right. And they're weirdly salient in that way that I can go on Netflix on a night and just think, thumbnail, 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 thumbnail. That's too much choice. Right. That's a problem with streaming services for me. 2 points I'm going to make. One, I've had Back to the Future on DVD for years and years and years and years and years and years. Never thought to just make the effort. It's a ridiculous idea to call it effort, but it feels like an effort to get it out the sleeve and put it in the tray. And yet on a lazy Sunday afternoon, if you're just idly scrolling the channels and you see Back to the Future on, you think, oh, Christ, classic. That'll do nicely. There's a difference between the tiniest bit of effort versus none whatsoever. And it's quietly crucial. America, I don't want to alienate all my pals over there.
Yeah.
But.
It could have gone with buddies. I like that. Pals.
Pals. But America, in terms of viewing habits and all the rest of it, and it's just entire culture is so like, just put stuff into my mouth and eyeballs. I will lap it up. But I just generally think that if given the choice between going on Peacock and scrolling through these absolutely ridiculous menus, they would just go, I'll just watch it on telly. It's easier. I've been programmed throughout my entire life. It happened in England as well. But it's just... I saw the reach for the drink of water. I thought I'd try and get the spit take. it's a Western cultural phenomenon of pure consumer-driven laziness. And I honestly think, if you look at the convoluted menu and there's the extra step taken, that people will primarily watch this on USA. It's a big old takeover. The branded events, the title matches, Io Shirai is a draw. Like, I think they'll do a monster number, and I don't think they'll get any traffic on Peacock hardly whatsoever. And again, it allows them to surf if they watch it on telly between NXT and AEW. And there is a little bit of channel hopping going on. I think 9-10 will demolish the same number AEW got last week, which would have been pretty worse and scary were it not for the Tyson bump of 700. 9-10 plays 700. And I think they'll win the demo as well.
Wow. I genuinely can't call it. So I've just sort of gone between both of your guesses to play it safe for once. 800,000 for NXT, 725,000 for AEW. But like we say, we've no idea how this is going to play out, particularly with NXT also being on Peacock. But let us know your thoughts on both shows on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, of course. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
Peacock Sucks as well. It's unfamiliar and scary and bad. It's not like the network. At M Sidgwick.
I don't know about you, but I'm kind of waiting to watch season 5 of Backlash. You can follow me. No spoilers. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Our preview of AEW Dynamite is available right now. Our reviews of both shows will be available tomorrow, as well as our preview of Night 2 of NXT TakeOver. Stand and deliver. But for now, this has been the Wednesday Night War preview of NXT. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.